We've just had some recent releases in terms of the trends of filing in 2016. They usually are released at this time of year in March. So what we have seen in 2016, in the PCT in particular, is a 7% increase. And you can see that in 2015, we went up by 1.7. So we've had a huge increase, in fact, in 1 year, now bringing us to 7%. And a lot of that goes to thanks to the economic activity in the Asia-Pacific region. Because, in fact, in 2016, in particular in China, we see a very high increase overall. We have seen a 44% increase overall. Now, keep in mind, in terms of talking about patenting in Asia, overall, when we look at PCT filings in general, this slide shows you the top countries using the PCT that are filing. But the activity in filings, we see that nearly 50% of the filings are actually originating from Asia. The exact figure is 47%. So there's a very high activity there for you. And noting again the strong cooperation that New Zealand has, in particular with China, and of course, as will come in the future with other states in that region, that's particularly important. You have high filing coming from the region. You can easily collaborate with co-applicants in the filing of your PCT applications. So you see here, I mentioned China as leading in that region with the growth, but also in Japan and Korea, we have consistent increases. And what we do, and you'll see this later this morning when you look at our global databases for intellectual property that we administer, we make sure that now, because of this high growth in Asia, we have tools in place where all of our inventors can access PCT applications, but be able to translate the contents of the applications in Asian languages. So this is being enhanced, and we constantly have the latest tools available for you in that particular region so you can actually make use of the documents. So how about in New Zealand? We've seen a very consistent growth over the years. New Zealand acceded to the PCT in 1992, but in fact, we have strong growth because we see that it's steady up until 2015. In fact, we had 262 PCT applications filed. Now, this is based on economic activity where we look at the first named applicant in our PCT applications. This is how the economics division carries this out in WIPO. So if I had five applicants on my file, we will actually extract the data based on the first named applicant. And we had these filings based on applicants from New Zealand filed with IPONS. Now, I'd like to highlight towards the end of the presentation here, I'd like to highlight really what are the key benefits, why do businesses actually rely on the PCT so heavily when they want to protect their patents internationally? So meaning in more than five countries, let's say, because really statistically, the PCT is used when businesses want to protect multinationally, but they're looking at between five to seven countries. That's really where one would see the economic benefit. So the reason that most businesses are using this system is because it will help to save considerable cost and time. How do we know this? We can have a look actually at a comparison of the advantages. I had showed you a timeline earlier, and now what we can see towards the end of this morning is that in fact, in this presentation, I wanted to show you a comparison so you could also see a comparison of advantages. Here I have a traditional patent system versus a PCT one. The reason being is that you can automatically see that all of the fees I would have to pay to seek national patent protection, I'm not actually furnishing any of these fees until 30 months' time. So I've gained, as an inventor, I have gained 18 months of time I did not have if I was filing under the Paris route. What can I do during that time? I can take the international search report that's been issued to me by one of the competent ISAs, have a look at that first finding of patentability, and make informed decisions about where I want to enter the national phase and where I really think I have a good chance of having a patent grant. But at the same time, this is the chance for businesses to look at the marketing potential of their intellectual property. So what's the commercial viability? Do I need to license my invention? Do I need to sell the rights? This is the time to do it. And at that point, during the 18 months, you then decide if you really need to enter national phase. Another key advantage here during this time frame that you're actually saving a lot of time is at 30 months, there's actually no penalty if I don't enter the national phase. I just simply do nothing at that point. I decide not to go further with the case. I don't lose out at all. I haven't invested any more money in patenting at that point. So really, there is a key economic advantage in using the PCT for that reason. Now, another key advantage is harmonization of certain requirements. And this is very specifically in terms of relation to how the application is filed. I don't need to worry in the national phase about changing the format and the content, because the regulations basically stipulate that in the national phase, when national patent examination takes place for patent grant, the offices have to abide by the fact that they should accept the application as it was filed in the international phase. Now, we also have a system in place for those of you that were looking at the timeline, perhaps thinking to yourselves, what if I miss the time limit to file my PCT application? So I file at 13 months and not 12. Well, in response to the stakeholders, WIPO carried out consultations, and in 2007, we introduced something called the restoration of the right of priority. And this means that inventors have a chance to prove there are certain conditions, and it's a specific criteria that is used. Why did it miss the time limit? And if it can prove that, in fact, it could have done so, it was just in spite of due care, unintentional, this is the key criteria, then this could be restored. So this is another benefit of using the system. Under a traditional system, there would be no restoration of the right of priority. It would be subject to the national patent law in every country in which you want to seek for patent protection. Just to highlight to you, I was talking a lot about the use and the high number of member states, so it's widely used, but it's of course used by our businesses, and you can see the majority here statistically is business as opposed to individuals, but also an emerging area is the use by universities that are coming up with viable technologies in their work, and they're using the PCT to patent them. And so these are some of our key filers. Now, by the way, at the moment, because we now have the latest statistics as of today, ZTE is no longer the third in terms of top applicants. It's now the first in terms of our PCT applicants in 2016. ZTE has taken over and is in first place. And then we have Hawaii Technologies, and Qualcomm is actually the third one. Qualcomm is a U.S. multinational that comes up with digital communication as technology. And interestingly, it filed the 2 millionth PCT application. So it is really, this is also why it remains in terms of the top filers. Now, by the way, we also had the 3 millionth. We reached a milestone this year. February 2nd, we had the publication of our 3 millionth application. This is a list of the universities that use the system. In New Zealand, many of you may be familiar with these top applicants. And we base this on the number of publications based on the applications that we received. And this is, again, the 2015 data. I did share all the 2016 statistics with you. But in terms of top applicants, this is now something that will be released naturally within the next days. Testimonial from one of our inventors in Japan that had won in 2014 a Nobel Prize for his LED technology, who's been using the PCT for quite some time. And as well, there are some systems in place. One is the Patent Prosecution Highway, and this is a system whereby, in fact, as an inventor, I have a great advantage. I can ask for an acceleration of the patent grant procedure in the national phase. I can do this only when there's a bilateral agreement in place between two offices. So let's take the case of IP Australia. IP Australia is part of the patent prosecution highway. If I have an application that the searching authority, because we know that IP Australia is one of the competent ISAs, that it carries out and it finds that at least one of the claims is patentable, it looks at novelty and inventive step, well, the second office where I'm seeking patent grant could actually accelerate the national patent examination procedure based on that. And so at the moment, this patent prosecution highway has now been incorporated into a PCT, patent prosecution highway, and about 50% of the work taking place under this is really in a PCT environment. So many offices are actually able to grant more quickly because they rely on work products of a first office. And this is PCT work products, meaning the international search reports and optionally the examination reports. I'd like to leave you with a few features. I unfortunately don't have a video for you, so you've been stuck with me for over 30 minutes. But I would like to share with you some of the enhancements that we have in the PCT. Many of you will know we work in a paperless environment, as all offices do. At the International Bureau, we have a system in place called the PCT. We'll be hearing about it as well this morning from IPONS. And EPCT allows, as an applicant, to file fully electronically. It's an online system. We have over 46 actual receiving offices. And of course, in New Zealand, this is one of our key offices using EPCT, accepting your applications electronically. There's no need to file using paper anymore. And in terms of updates, what we will have in place is we're keeping up and evolving with what the users need. Most of the users have requested not always having to use digital certificates to be able to file online. So we're going to have mechanisms in place where you can actually go in and use email addresses, use your mobile phone, and start to receive a code. And that will give you an encrypted access. So we're keeping up with technology and keeping up with the demand in terms of how to use the system. Patent scope, what I'd like to highlight to you here other than publication is the fact that not only can you access your published application, but you can also automatically have a look at what is happening in the national phase. Is there a grant taking place in certain countries? In which countries has it entered national phase? And I can actually have access to the dossier in those offices. So this is a project that's ongoing. New Zealand provides this information to us, and we have actually, I believe, over 50 offices doing this. So it's a continuing project that we carry out at the Bureau. Just quickly, I mentioned translation to everyone. There are specific tools in place. There's quite a few, but one of the key ones related to PCT is called the WIPO Pearl. The WIPO Pearl is a multilingual terminology database. So what it does is it takes the patent documents and it basically scans all of the key scientific and technical terms that are related to a lot of technologies, medical fields, medicine, health, food, energy. And we take these fields and we publish the translation of those scientific terms. So this would be very useful for you when you're carrying out searches on your invention. And you can find, as you see here, over 115,000 terms now that PCT translators verify, and we work with stakeholders to make sure we have accurate information. Now, the last two features before I wrap up relate to specifics that we have in terms of making your invention available for licensing. So if you're looking for someone to license your invention to, what we do in patent scope is we say you can send us a request at the International Bureau of WIPO saying that you're looking for someone to license to. We just have to make sure we get this within 30 months' time so we can publish it during the international phase. And you will find this automatically in patent scope. You can see here where the tab is. So when you search for applications, you can also tick the box that's highlighted here, and I can automatically in my search find out who's looking to license their invention. The last feature relates to third-party observations. I did hint about this earlier. Sometimes we anticipate that others might have an invention similar to ours. We do allow third parties to submit what we call observations related to only novelty or inventive step. If they have observations that they think would affect the validity of either of those criterion, then they can submit that. We will publish it, those observations in PatentScope, but we'll also communicate all those observations to the designated offices. Now, for those of you that might find this frightening because somebody might submit observations on one of your applications, don't worry, because applicants always have an option to revoke, to basically object to those observations. We will also publish any rebuttal to a third-party observation. This is to show you where you would be able to submit directly on PatentScope website if you like, but you can also use the EPCT system. So lastly, to wrap up this morning, keep in mind, this was a very specific presentation on the PCT, but it can be very detailed. And you can find all the information in our training sessions online on the PCT website. We've got also a YouTube channel. In particular, we have webinars. So don't worry about where to find the information. We're constantly providing you with further training. You can contact also the PCT info line that runs from 9 to 6 Geneva time. And if all else fails, you can always contact me directly. I'll be very happy to hear from you and to provide you some advice on using the PCT. So I thank you for your attention this morning, and I look forward to exchanging some views with you during the Q&A. Thank you.